And our New Testament scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 16th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or some of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, you are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can gather in your house on a Sunday morning and hear your word proclaimed. Thank you that you pour your spirit out upon us to illuminate this word so that we may learn from it and we may emerge from this place with a new message, with a new heart, a new spirit, and a new desire. May the message that we hear this morning fill us. May it inspire us, and may it cause us to go into the world and proclaim the news that you are God, and that your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah. And on that, we will build a church. We lift all of this up in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. Now, I've said this before, that, you know, I don't use the word awesome much. I don't like it. I don't like to use it because it's kind of been dumbed down in our culture today. We like to use awesome for everything. You know, you find a penny on the ground and you say awesome. You find that you don't have a tore up sidewalk where you park your car next to the church and you say awesome. But that really isn't what awesome is. The definition of awesome is something that leaves you filled with awe and wonder. To me, it's something that makes you stop, that makes you go, wow. And if you really want to understand what an awesome experience is, it's something that is so amazing that you want to go experience it again, or you never want to leave where you are. So think about that when you use the word awesome in the future. That when you use that word, it should be something that you really are recounting, something that has left you just wow. The birth of my children were awesome moments. To hear my children make their first noise and hope that they would stop was awesome. To hold them in my arms and now to watch them grow, it is awesome to see them become unique individuals that have characters. That's awesome to me. It's awesome when I see how God works within the community of believers, when things happen that you wouldn't expect to happen. That's awesome to me. But to me also, too, awesome is when you get to stand in the presence of something that leaves you with absolutely no doubt that there is a God. You know, a lot of people thought I was crazy for wanting to drive to South Carolina to experience a solar eclipse. But I'm a nerd. I'm an unabashed nerd. So you say I only have to drive a couple of hours to stand in the shadow of the moon. Guess what? I'm loading up the car and I'm going. The next one in 2 years is in South America, and I'm already looking at making plans to go down there and see it. That's going to involve a little bit more. But to say I'm a nerd, I want to go experience this. And, you know, God puts things together, because I had hastily made plans. I booked a hotel that was right under the path. I figured, well, all I had to do is walk outside the hotel and I'd be able to see the total solar eclipse. But here I am in Montreat with a group of military chaplains sitting at the dinner table talking to some kids about the solar eclipse. And they said, well, the solar eclipse is going to go right over the top of our house. Oh, that's cool. And then their parents said, well, why don't you come over to our place and hang out with us for the day? You know, we're going to have a party-ish for you to see the eclipse. Okay, great. You know, now I have a bathroom. I don't have to pay. Don't have to fight traffic. And so we make all these plans. I go and I'm driving there to their house to experience the eclipse. And then I get a call from a fraternity brother that I haven't seen in over 10 years. We've talked. We've chatted. And he's like, I see you're in South Carolina. Where are you going? I tell him where I'm going. And he's like, well, can I come there? I said, well, let me get there so I can ask them if you can come over because, you know, I'm not the one putting this together. Lo and behold, I show up and say, hey, it's great to see you. Thank you for allowing me to come over to your house. I've got a friend that I haven't seen in over 10 years. He's got a car filled with... Uh-oh. Okay. I don't have my phone. Is somebody, you got it? 911's being called? Okay.
Okay, we need to.
All right. If y'all can just sit down and give, we got plenty of folks there. Yeah. You know, there is a story in the Bible, but we need to give her room so we can get 911 here and get her taken care of. Are you okay?
Yeah. Okay. Same lady.
Okay. All right. While you're sitting in your pews, if you can just be praying silently and...
I want her to lie here. I can get my fingers on
the Just put her up here. Did she get it? Yeah.
Here. Let's
can you get up there, Robert? Can you drive? Your legs are under there, so that's bad.
Yeah, her legs are under there.
Oh. Did we get the blood pressure?
Okay, just put your head down then. On
okay. Yeah. I'm worried if we try and move her, she may fall again. Yep.
Yep.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Because her legs are underneath.
I think we could probably almost bring her out this way. We could probably bring her out.
Why
don't
you let these guys get her?
I don't know that she wants to get her.
Yeah. Yeah, if she doesn't want to move, let's not move her.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Is she breathing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is she breathing?
We're getting ready to take her blood pressure.
Okay.
Yep. And the AED's right there just in case.
Okay. She fainted.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, for a moment. Yeah.
All right.
She's out again. Yeah. Wait, please come quickly.
Yeah. All right.
Here, let her lie down. Get her down.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll watch your head. Scooter
right.
Your way.
Okay. Scooter her hips your way. She's having a seizure.
Yes, she is.
She's having a seizure.
Okay.
Is she breathing right now?
All right, yes. We're moving the car out there.
Seizure right now, ma'am. Okay, she's good now. She's good. Okay, now she's good. Yes.
She's
deep breath.
Deep breath.
Sorry. How old is she?
She's like
82.
Yeah.
For your serving.
Okay.
No, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. I think we've got this taken care of, and the ambulance will be here shortly. Yes.
The problem was, yeah, we're going because the paramedics are going to come and they're going to want to undress her and get an EKG.
Can you put your?
This was the problem the last time.
Did she ever seize before?
Not that we're aware.
All right. Well, we'll let them make that call. They were saying the last time this happened, the paramedics asked for folks to leave the sanctuary. We'll let them do that. But I think while we're waiting for them to get here, now's a good time to have a word of prayer, don't you think?
Yes.
All right. Well, let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and you know, sometimes we just see things that we don't understand, And we wonder why. But we know that even when we don't have all the answers and we don't know what to do, we can always pray. We can always stop and we can always come to you and lift up our prayers. We lift up our prayers for our sister. We know that she needs you and she needs your healing touch right now. And we lift her up to you knowing that you are the great physician, that we can put things at your feet. And when we don't know what to do, you know exactly what needs to be done. And I know because your word says it, you're already in the middle of all of this doing exactly what needs to be done. We pray that the ambulance comes quickly, that those first responders that we depend on in times like these who have left their families for a time to be ready to come over and assist us, that they will get here and arrive safely. That as they are here and they minister to her, give them the wisdom and the clarity to tend to her needs. And as she gets over to the hospital and the medical team receives her, that they also too are with you, and that you pour your spirit and your power on them to minister to her. Let us know that even though we came here today expecting one thing and another thing that has happened, that we should be comfortable in knowing that everything is within your will and that we can be participants in that. Knowing that even when things don't go the way we want them to go, that they always go the way you want them to go, and give us that comfort. So may we be ready to assist in whatever way we can, even if it is just to silently and quietly pray. All this we lift up in the powerful name of your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we all say, Amen. Amen. Yep, I hear them.
No.
Okay, so y'all are out here. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm fully intending on continuing the worship service.
I figure they're gonna run everybody out. You think?
I don't know. We'll see what they do.
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they
don't.
And when they get here and they say what they want us to do, even if they clear out the sanctuary, if you can wait until the ambulance has departed the area before you try to go wherever it is that you may be trying to go to, so that we don't block the roads. Even though the hospital is right there, you know, it's a beautiful thing to have available to us. But we want to make sure that they have plenty of room to do what they need to do. You doing, brother? Hey.
She was yelling at me. I mean, seriously, she was not a nice person. Oh.
Yeah. Well, we pray.
Yes.
Pray for her too. That we have all of this. We have first responders to the first responders. Who do you say I am? You know, it's in times like this when I am reminded, and we should all be reminded, of who we are and whose we are. We should be reminded that we are part of something greater than ourselves. That we are part of something that is so awesome that we want to come back and we want to be part of it over and over and over again. Because how awesome it is to be in a place when something like that happens and you're surrounded by first responders to the first responders. And you're surrounded by prayer warriors and brothers and sisters, and it's not a, oh, I'm sorry that, you know, sorry for your luck. It's being surrounded by people who genuinely care about you and what's going on in your life. Ask yourself this question. If you had been in her shoes, would you not want the same thing as well? And because we've seen something like that, it reminds us that we are part of a connectional church. That everybody that gathers here is connected in one way to another, but we're also part of a larger connectional church. That we're part of a church that, you know, as I traveled to South Carolina, I could be in the presence of Presbyterians. And it was, even though we had never been in each other's presence, but maybe for a few days, it was as though we had been brothers for years. You can go to just about any Presbyterian church and you'll get the same thing. How awesome is that? How awesome it is that we are in a time where we can do that. But I want you to think about it. You know, my message that I had prepared today just went out that door. Because, you know, and I'm a firm believer that you got to be ready for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will throw you a curveball and will put something right in front of you and say, all right, Pastor, here's what you need to preach on. I don't think God said the message that I had prepared was a bad message. I think, you know, I'm not in that camp. But I do. What I do think God says is that sometimes, you know, the real world and what you want to talk about collide. Because I was going to talk to you this morning about what are we building our church on and avoiding sinkholes in our lives. Because what I just saw was a sinkhole that we have in our life. Because when we see somebody going through something like that, we want to pass them by and not get involved. Amen? We see somebody broken down on the side of the road and we don't want to stop and help them. Because we get all wrapped around the axle, well, they may try and rob me, or they may try and do this, they may try and do that. They may just be another Presbyterian who has a broke down car. We look at things and we allow that stuff to get underneath what we think is a good foundation and erode away at what we are called to do. Jesus asked his disciples a very simple question. Who do you say that I am? And they kind of danced around the subject until he got to Peter. And Peter said, well, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Do you believe Jesus is the Messiah? Now, I could say then, why aren't you showing that outside the walls of the church? Because I fall short. I know I'm the same way. And you know, there was an example that played out in media today. How many of you saw this video of a sinkhole in China and the guy on the moped that fell into the sinkhole? Some of you probably saw it. He was on his cell phone and he's just bebopping down the road and then the road falls away and he tries to stop, but he falls into the hole and then he gets up like no big deal. But that's an image for it of us. How often do we think that the road ahead is nice and firm and solid, but we're too distracted to see that the water is going underneath, eroding everything underneath it, and we're about to walk into a sinkhole? I ask myself these questions all the time because I like to think that if we say we are followers of Jesus Christ and we have built our church on the rock, then we better make sure that we're not allowing stuff to get underneath there. Because I tell you, I have seen big boulders next to rivers. And I've gone back in a few years to see that big boulder moved a mile down the river. All it takes is a little bit of water. We can see that playing out in Texas. All it takes is a little bit of water to cause a whole lot of things to happen. And that's a little bit of water, those things that trip us up as Christians. Because Jesus always is talking about this with his disciples. He's trying to say, yeah, you think you got it, but. You think you understand this, but let me show you something else. Because I think times we get wrapped around and we say, man, we have it. How awesome it is we can be in a church where somebody has a medical episode and we got nurses and we've got an AED and we've got all these folks to help out and we've got all this and the hospital is right across the parking lot. We've got all this stuff working in our favor. But what is going on underneath? What's going on underneath in how we approach our lives as believers? You know, there are times when we get wrapped around the axle on things that we shouldn't get wrapped around the axle on. Amen? We get so focused on the little things that have absolutely nothing to do with proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. They proclaim the opposite. We get focused on things, and I'm going to name a couple of them that I see in our world today. We'll get focused on the temperature and forget that we're in worship. How many of you ever done that? You're like, it's hot in here today. I don't care whether it's hot or cold. I'm in the house of the Lord worshiping Jesus. The temperature should be irrelevant. Amen? Or we say, well, you know, I like the King James Version of the Bible, and they use the New International Version of the Bible, and I don't know if I can do it. It's a Bible, right? So then that should be okay with us. We should not use that as an excuse not to read a Bible, because I can tell you in countries where they don't get Bibles, they don't care. They'll take whatever scripture that they can have. You read stories about prisoners of war who don't have a Bible at all. So what do? They start writing scriptures on the walls of their cells. Imagine that. And I don't think any one of them sat there and go, well, that's the 23rd Psalm from the King James Version, and you should be one using the one from the NRSV. I don't know about you. You know, what about the subject of the book? Jesus and who we are as Christians. That should be the emphasis, right? Who do you say that I am? We don't say, well, you're the Jesus of the King James Bible. We don't say that. We just say, you are Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I am going to build the church on you. We get wrapped around the axles on things like, well, somebody parked in my parking spot. Well, that might be a visitor that needs to be at church just as bad as you do. And amen, hallelujah, that we got some new folks showing up. I would almost say that y'all should park over there by the helipad next to the hospital and wait for this parking lot to fill up with newcomers and make sure they get the good parking spots and you can walk across the street. Isn't that what Jesus says we're supposed to do? The last shall be first. The first shall be last. Love your neighbor as yourself. You want to have a good parking spot, so wouldn't you want your neighbor to have a good one too? We get wrapped around things like, well, if only we had this. How many of you have ever done that? You know, or I'm not going to come to church unless this happens. Wow. You know, I don't think God was sitting up there going, I'm not going to send Jesus down there to be their Messiah unless they do this. He said, because of who you are, that's why Jesus came. Not because of what you were going to do, but he said, man, it's time. I need to send the Son to you. I need to send to you the Savior that I have promised. Imagine if he said, well, if only they would get to 85 people in worship service on a Sunday morning, I'll send Jesus. Doesn't work that way, does it? Who are we? Who do you say that I am? That's a question Jesus asks us. We look at things like, well, you know, how many of you probably thought, well, it's just going to make the worship service longer. You know? But you know what? I've always said that if you want to spend forever with Him in heaven, what's an extra 15 minutes on a Sunday morning? Think about that for a second. We get things like, boy, I mean, you know, and I've had people say, you know, we really should keep those worship services to an hour, Pastor. Not here, at other places. I'm not going to fink you guys out. But I'm thinking about, if you want to spend the rest of your life with Jesus, then an extra 15 minutes at church is not going to trump the equation, right? Actually, if you want to spend forever with Jesus, then you want to be able to spend as much time as you can in and amongst His believers, in His house, learning His Word, doing what He has called you to do, and not going, man, I have got to get home to watch the pregame show. That doesn't work that way. Jesus is challenging His disciples, who do you say that I am? We get wrapped around things like, well, I really don't like the fact that that person sits next to me every Sunday and they wear this cologne that is just atrocious. Guess what? Plenty of open places. You know, don't let these sinkholes stop you from believing in Christ. Don't let these sinkholes stop you from ministering to your brothers and sisters. Don't let these sinkholes separate you from the Christ that you proclaim, because guess who puts those sinkholes there? The one that doesn't want you to do it. The sinkholes are there to trip you up. But I've always, you know, this is a beautiful adage. You know, there's an image of a guy standing and there's a road and it's going down and there's a hole and then the road continues on the other side and the guy is standing there looking into the hole going, I guess I'm not going to get where I need to go, not realizing that you can walk around that hole and get back on the road, right? You know, these things like this, you know, as a pondering this, you know, we say we come here and we say we believe in Jesus Christ. We proclaim him, but we allow those things to erode away at our faith. We refuse to stand on the rock. I would say we can simplify it very easy. If we proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, and we stand on his word, and we do what he has called us to do, ain't no water gonna flow underneath that foundation and cause it to sink. Amen? There is nothing that's going to come in. Jesus promised it in his word. Didn't he tell his disciples that? I'm gonna build my church on you, and the gates of what? Hell will not prevail against it. And then he even says, if you say it here, it will be done there. If you do it here, it will be done there. Now think about that for a second. If you call yourself a Christian and you come here to church, then maybe those times when you say, man, I really don't like this person, guess what happens up in heaven? If you read that scripture and you look at it that way, it kind of makes us wonder that if we're actually going to want something to be done and Jesus has said that it'll happen, maybe we should get rid of all that stuff. We should say, you know, I really wish that the people walking up and down Magnolia Street would stop in church today. I really wish that that person that parked in my parking spot when I came to church today would come over and introduce themselves to me so that I can say, God loves you and so do I. I want to, you know, things like that. I really wish that we could do this. I really wish that God would work in miraculous ways and not get focused on all those things that erode congregations today. How many times do we get focused on, well, we didn't get enough in the offering plate? Think about that for a second. That's probably the biggest question going around in churches today. Don't you agree? Wanting to make sure you have enough money to keep the lights on and keep the building paid for? But think about this. This is what hit me this past week. It's not about saving money. It's about saving souls. Right? That's what we should be focused on. If you're worried about your budget, get more people. That's the way I see it. You know, if you're worried about all this empty space in the sanctuary, that commercial, you know, I don't remember, it's for some hair care product from the 1900s. And they told two friends, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on, and so on. Imagine if the 100-some-odd of you that are in here this morning went and told two friends about Jesus in this church, and at least one of them would come to church next week. We would double the size of our congregation. You only have to be 50% successful. How about that? It's not even a passing grade. You can be a failure. Get one out of two and the church grows. That's what we're called to do. We look at, say, well, how can we make this better? How can we make that better? But really, it's just about going out there and sharing them that Jesus loves them and he loves them more than anything else in the world. And they need to come here and be part of this. They need to come here and experience this. I'm not going to ask you this question, but I know that I probably wouldn't get in very many hands of saying, how many of you in the past week have invited somebody to come to church with you? Think about that. How many of you have said, man, you really got to come to church on Sunday? How many of you are going to be going home, and I know you're going to be talking about what happened in church today? You know? You're going to be talking about it, but why don't you go home and talk about how awesome God is and how much he loves you and how much he loves them and to say, I'll see you next Sunday. Because guess what next Sunday is? It's Communion Sunday, right? That's a good time to invite people to come to church and say, hey, guess what? You can come to church and we're going to feed you while you're here. I mean, we could do that. As I was preparing the message, and I love how God puts things together, And I would leave you with this. Jesus challenges his disciples. He asks them a very simple question. A simple question that has a very simple answer. A simple answer that means everything in the world. So when you get asked that question, why do you go to church? Why do you believe? Why don't you just sum it up with, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I believe that God sent Christ to save me. God sent Christ to save you too. All you have to do is believe. Forget about all that other stuff that causes sinkholes. Just look at it for what it really is, that I am a servant of the living God and I believe in His Son. End of discussion. Why don't you come join me next Sunday at 509 Magnolia Street at 10 o'clock and you can find out more. And if you don't have a ride, I'll give you a ride. And if you don't have a place to sit, I'll give you my seat. If you want a good place to park, I'll give you my parking spot. But you need to hear this message. That is the goal. That is the rock that we build a church on. Do you see that? So when my mind is going 10,000 miles an hour because God throws things in front of you and He just says, hey, look at this. You know, earlier this week, God put an eclipse in my path. And I tell you, staring at the sun, blocked out by the moon, seeing the corona, seeing it for what it really is, standing in the shadow, seeing a planet in the middle of the day that you normally wouldn't be able to see, seeing streetlights come on, crickets chirping, and hearing the roar of a neighborhood that was louder than any sporting event I have ever been to, leaves you with awe and wonder. It makes you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God. And it inspires you to go out and do whatever you can to make sure other people believe that. People tell me all the time, you know, you're a nerd, you're a geek, and why do you believe in God? And now I can say, did you see the eclipse this week? This is the only place in our solar system that you can stand in the shadow of a moon and see the atmosphere of the sun. It's the only place in our solar system that you can stare at something so awesome that it leaves you breathless. This is the only place God created this rock so unique that He can proclaim His glory. And the whole time that I'm watching that, I'm realizing that it doesn't matter how much the world, doesn't matter how much the cosmos tries to block it out, the sun will still shine again. I wasn't worried looking at the eclipse because I knew that shortly thereafter the sun was going to start shining again. The sun didn't go out. The moon got in the way. But it also reminded me of something. You know, it's an image of what a church should be. It's an image of that rock that we should build ourselves on. It's an image of who we should be as a people. Because for one thing, I read this in an article, more people witnessed the total solar eclipse than voted in our last presidential election. And nobody was watching it hoping that it didn't happen. Nobody was looking at the eclipse going, if that eclipse happens, I'm leaving. Nobody looked at it and said, boy, I hope that eclipse don't happen. Nobody was arguing with their friends over whether or not an eclipse was good or bad. Everybody was looking up upon it in utter amazement. The other thing is, another nerd of mine said, you know, scientists had predicted this eclipse, you know, 40-some-odd years ago. You know, they knew that this eclipse, 1979, they knew that the next one was going to happen in 2017. They had all the charts. They said, this is where it's going to go. Here's what's going to happen. It's a shadow. The temperature's going to drop. Animals are going to think it's night and all this. And not a single person went on social media to say that the scientists were wrong, that they didn't know what they were talking about, that they didn't know what was, that it was all quackery. Nobody said that. So think about that in the life of a church. Imagine how awesome it would be if we all coalesced around this single thing of proclaiming Christ and Him crucified. Imagine if we all coalesced around this single idea that we are called to go out and share that good news with everybody that we come in contact with. Imagine if we all coalesced around this idea of it doesn't matter how many or how much, it only matters that we worship the living God. And we all coalesce around that. I'm just, it would be awesome to me. It just thinks about, you know, how awesome that it would be. We got a glimpse of that on Monday. We got a glimpse of that. So now we can go out and create that again. Not wait 7 years for it to happen over Texas. Not wait 30 some odd years for it to come over Florida. But let's go out today and let's create that same awe and wonder in how we react and how we interact with our brothers and sisters to where they go, there's something about you and I need to find out more. And then they follow you here to figure out who it is that you serve. So who do you say he is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Because if you believe in your heart that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, then let's go out those doors and into the world and live it out like we truly mean it, forgetting about everything else that may cause those sinkholes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.